from the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Oh my word, it is so hot here in Memphis, Tennessee, at our Southern Command, here in the broadcast bunker. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It's, folks, sweet mercy. You know, I grew up in the Deep South, and you would think being a Southerner that you would get used to the humidity. It's not so much the heat, it's the humidity. And I got to tell you, 15 years in New York City, I'm out of shape. So it's supposed to feel like 103 degrees outside with the humidity. So I hope things are much more pleasant where you are. I will say this, you know, I spent some pretty good years over in California working at KFBK in Sacramento, which is, Caleb, why is KFBK important in the annals of radio history?
Oh, I didn't know there was going to be a pop quiz.
Go stand in the corner, Caleb.
Yeah.
You should know this. This is the station where Rush Limbaugh launched his national show.
I knew that.
Back in the day. Not only that, it's also where Morton Downey Jr. got his start back in the day. What another great blast from the past in the radio world. But anyway, I never lived outside of the South, moved out to Sacramento, and it's a beautiful area. But I tell you, it gets hotter than blue blazes. It'll get to like 120 degrees. And they would tell me, oh, look, you know, that's a piece of cake. You got nothing to worry about because we've got no humidity here. So it's a dry heat. That's what they tell you, a dry heat. Caleb, I felt like a Toll House cookie in my oven.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I had never been so hot.
A charcoal grill's a dry heat, too.
Mm. Yes, it is. So anyway, I would much rather, all that to say, I would much rather be hot and dripping here in the Mid-South than anywhere else in America, which is why we relocated our national show to Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown. Folks, we've got a lot going on today and a lot to talk about. I have an update to share with you about this St. Louis couple. We were talking about this yesterday, and I was glad to see the folks over at Fox News Channel picking up on our narrative last night in the primetime shows. But this St. Louis couple, who was out on the front lawn of their house protecting their property against the violent mob, folks, they could face criminal charges. So the prosecutor there in St. Louis is a lefty, and she's threatening to go after these folks. And we're going to get into this. The only thing I see that they did nothing wrong, but I will say this: probably they need to take a refresher course on gun safety 101. You don't go around waving the gun at people. You're not supposed to do that. So anyway, the problem here is the national media. And the national media has been, they've been giving this couple the raw deal. And Fox News has done a terrific job of pointing out that both NBC and ABC glossed over a lot of the details in the coverage of this couple. So here is the national narrative. Wealthy white couple standing on the lawn of their mansion holding guns at peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters. That is the narrative. But we now know that is not true. We know there is more to the story. And as Paul Harvey used to say, I'm about to give you the rest of the story. So it turns out that the couple here, and I think this is sort of the funny part of all of this. The guy's name, Mark McCloskey, he's 63 years old, and his wife, Patricia, she's 61 years old. And it turns out they're lefties. And I think this is a hoot. Because even lefties understand that you should engage in your Second Amendment rights. And what happened in St. Louis over the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, is a perfect example, a lesson, if you will, on why we need a Second Amendment, why we need the right to bear arms. So here's what the mainstream media did not tell you about yesterday's or Sunday's events in this private exclusive neighborhood. This is a gated community of homes, high-dollar homes that are on the National Historic Register. They have a gate. The gate was closed. We now know that the Black Lives Matter protesters, numbering some 500 people, they breached the gate. And Mr. McCloskey is watching all of this go down. And so he gets on the phone and he contacts the police department. And I want to share this information with you. This is the quote from the McCloskeys and their attorneys. At the time, their fear was these people, two in particular, were marching along with the Black Lives Matter protest, all peaceful. They were acting in a fashion inconsistent with the message given. My clients were not arming themselves against peaceful protesters. They were arming themselves because of people with a really bad motive. A motive that runs afoul of the fundamental tenets of the country. So in other words, the McCloskeys here are not racist, gun-toting rednecks, as they would have you believe. But in fact, they are liberals who support Black Lives Matter. And they realized as they see this horde of 500 people marching into their community, uninvited, breaking the law, they realized that a couple of these folks had guns. What would you do? What would you do if that was your neighborhood? What would you do if 500 people just marched into your neighborhood, walked onto your property, holding firearms? What would you do? Now, here's what's interesting. The police department, their report. So they finally got the police out. So keep in mind, this guy called the police. Nobody showed up. They called the police again. Nobody showed up. So you know what they did? They did what any God-fearing, red-blooded, patriotic American would do. They realized that they had to protect themselves. They were responsible for their own safety. The police, they didn't show up. So here they are out on the front lawn of their home, AR-15 in hand, a pistol in her hand. And they were able to fend off the rampaging mob. But it turns out that the police report does not identify the McCloskeys as the victims. Now this is going to get interesting because the district attorney in St. Louis is investigating, and she's very upset with what this couple did. She's accusing the couple of threatening and intimidating the peaceful protesters. There's nothing peaceful about these protesters. They broke the law. And they broke the law many times. First of all, by vandalism, by breaking down the fence. Second, by trespassing in the private property. And third, trespassing again when they walked onto the property of the McCloskeys. It's all private property. And Mr. McCloskey was on KMOV TV, and he said, hey, look, This is all private property. There are no public sidewalks. There are no public streets. Mr. McCloskey said that they were told they would be killed, their home would be burned, and that they would even kill the family dog. We're talking about some evil people here. Jeez aloo. Mr. McCloskey said, we were all alone facing an angry mob. And that's exactly what all of the video shows. All of the video. So the question now is, if they do arrest Mr. and Mrs. McCloskey, what exactly are they going to charge the McCloskeys with? They're both lawyers. They've been lawyers for more than 30 years. They are very well respected in the community. Clearly, they're liberals. What are they going to be charged with? Defending their property? Protecting themselves from the rampaging mob? And when you see this beautiful, beautiful wrought iron fence that was literally destroyed, you know that these people were up to no good. I got to tell you something. I don't know the McCloskeys. We've invited them to come on the show, and I hope they accept our invitation. Because, and I get it, our politics may be different, but that's where we draw the line. Because clearly, these are people who cherish the Second Amendment. These are people who cherish our constitutional rights. These are people whose home was about to be invaded, and they took a stand. They did what I believe every red-blooded American citizen would do. Got to tell you something. They're being pummeled in the mainstream media and on the social media platforms. But these are good and decent American citizens. This is appalling what is happening in our country right now, folks, where we are literally being left on our own to handle whatever is coming down the pike. And you know what? That's okay. Because people, Americans, are finally starting to wake up. Americans are finally starting to get engaged. They realize, you know what? The Republicans up on Capitol Hill, they're not going to defend us. The Republicans on Capitol Hill, they're not going to defend the statues of our founding fathers or the monuments with crosses or missionaries. They're not going to defend us. And this happened. I want to play some audio before we go to break here. This interaction really just blessed my heart. New York City, big protest outside of the Natural History Museum in front of the statue of Teddy Roosevelt that's about to be taken down. And an elderly woman goes toe-to-toe with one of these pajama boy snowflakes, a little effeminate boy. Cut number two.
We will see to it that you fall, and you fall so hard,
yo,
you
lady,
have no one hit you.
Check your privilege and get back over there.
No.
Whoa.
Yo, bro. Yo, who are you talking to, huh? You got something to say, little boy? You got something to say, little boy? No, you don't, do you?
Why don't you? Back over there.
No, I'll stand wherever I want.
I think you're bigots. You don't understand the
Constitution. Is that the best you got, darling
boy? All men are created
equal. Is that the best you got, baby boy? Is that the best you got?
Is that the best? You know what? She went toe-to-toe with that little punk. And you know what happened? That little punk, that little weasel, he backed away, going toe-to-toe, calling that woman all sorts of horrible names, and she didn't back down. That's what we have to do here, folks. The example set by that elderly woman on the streets of New York City, the example set by the McCloskeys on the front lawn of their house in Missouri, they took a stand. So this is what we've been talking about on this radio program for so many years now. All right, we've got to take a break. We're opening up the phone lines here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. The news out of St. Louis, the couple on the front lawn may possibly face criminal charges. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. I've got a question for you. The mask policies that are out there, a lot of cities now requiring you to wear a face mask. And my question, very simple, are you complying with those orders? Are you wearing a face mask when you go outside? Many communities are now telling people that they have to wear a face mask, whether they are inside a store or outside a store. Doesn't matter. If you're out in public, you have to wear a face mask. And that's got a lot of people very concerned in some of the states where it gets mighty warm during the summertime. So this information just coming in from Miami Beach. Those of you out on vacation, if you're out on South Beach and you're not wearing a mask, you could get a $50 fine. Miami-Dade County announcing that the city would begin issuing fines to anyone who ignores rules requiring the use of facial coverings indoors and outside if social distance cannot be observed. The city's new crackdown does not go as far as its neighbors across the bay in the city of Miami. They are forcing people to use masks at all time in public, except when exercising, eating, or working outdoors. It's very hard to eat a sandwich if you got a face mask. I'm just saying, it's very hard. You can still walk your dog down the street, but you have to wear a mask. What about your dog? Does the dog have to wear a mask? They do not say in the news coverage. Violating Miami Beach's rule may earn you a verbal warning and subsequent fines, leading to a $50 fine. That's less than the announced fines in Miami. So in Miami, now this is Miami Beach, $50. In Miami, if you get caught not wearing a face mask, the first fine is $50. The third offense is $500. Now, Caleb, I'm very curious. Around Gainesville, Georgia, most people wearing a mask, not wearing a mask?
It's definitely picked up over the past, I would say, 4 or 5 days. I was in a grocery store today. A lot of people wearing masks. It's picked up a lot. It's picking up a lot. There's people no mandate here, though.
Well, that we've got a mandate here in Memphis, Tennessee. And again, it's going to feel like 100 degrees outside, and they're making you wear a mask, whether you are inside or outside. And it does make you wonder, what exactly is the end game here? What exactly is the end game with these masks? I'm calling them face burkas. Every time I see someone being forced to wear a mask, I can't help but think of the poor, oppressed people of the Middle East who can't even walk outside without covering up their entire body. I mean, is that where we're going as a country? You know, I mentioned this yesterday on the program. Folks, I'm telling you, get ready, because it's coming. They're going to shut this country down again. Now, that's not coming from Washington, but I can promise you that the governors are going to shut down their states. Mark my words on this. You know, Speaker Newt Gingrich said the only thing that troubles him, the only thing that keeps him up at night, is the idea that the country could, in fact, go through a second shutdown. And if that happens, Speaker Newt believes that President Trump could lose re-election. And you know the Democrats know that. Well, of course they do. You know the Democrats are going to be out there taking advantage of the situation. They don't care about your business. They don't care about your family. They do not care. And by the way, has anybody bothered to just, again, bring this up? I've been watching the cable news channels. Nobody wants to address the issue here of why we have seen such a spike in the amount of young people allegedly coming down with this virus. Is it possible, just possible, that one of the reasons is that you've had tens of thousands of young people out marching in the streets, burning down our cities? Is that even a remote possibility? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number, 844-747-8868. And we have a great show for you, folks. Congressman Joni Heiss is going to be here. Also, a student who got in trouble because she believed all lives matter. And we're going to talk to this individual on the radio show just a little bit later on today. Also, Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council. He is very upset over what the Supreme Court did with the abortion ruling. Chief Justice Roberts siding with the liberals on the court. So Tony Perkins from Family Research Council, he's going to drop by a little bit later on. Plus your calls, again, that number, 844-747-8868. ToddStarnes.com is our website. And folks, we have a lot of great stuff for you to check out there. Our free podcast, the Toddcast podcast, it is a free download. All you have to do is go to the website and subscribe. Also, you got to check out our weekly newsletter, and you can subscribe to that as well. All free of charge. Doesn't cost you a penny. All right, folks, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing good on this Tuesday edition of the program. There is a crazy story out of Kansas, and this is just mind-boggling. This is from the pages of the Wichita Eagle. Here's the headline: Kansas lawmakers offer to black colleague a photo op in exchange for campaign cash. Wow. May I just point out that the story I'm about to share with you, it did not take place below the Mason-Dixon line. I just want to point that out to you. So this guy, he is a state representative. His name is Michael Capps, C-A-P-P-S. And he is a Republican. And he told a lawmaker, Representative Willie Dove, that he wanted the photo because you're black. So nobody ever pays me for a photo, by the way. I guess I'm a white guy. Who wants to take a picture with a white guy? So this is a crazy story. This guy Caps, this is sort of weird. He has been accused, or allegations that this guy donated to Planned Parenthood in his opponent's name, and the opponent is a staunch pro-lifer. Mr. Dove, who is black, says, "I was very offended at the request." Well, of course, who would not be offended? "At this time, we're going through so many racial issues out there, and for someone to ask for a picture just because the person is of a different skin color is absolutely ridiculous." What a, folks, I'm just telling you, there is, both political parties have issues. Why don't we just leave it at that? Shame on you, sir. Shame on you, Mr. Caps. You should know better. Goodness gracious. Oh, I've got to share this story. We're not going to have a lot of time later in the show, so I need to share this story with you right now. Caleb, I know you're going to want to weigh in on this. A California woman was gored by a bison at Yellowstone National Park. Now, at face value, this is a tragic story. But it turns out that the woman here may have been the aggressor and not the bison. So the bison was just doing what a bison does. The 72-year-old, this woman was 72 years old. The 72-year-old unnamed woman got within 10 feet of the bison multiple times while at a campground. She was trying to take a photo. You know she was doing the selfie. You just know that was going down. The National Park Service wrote about this in a press release. They say the woman sustained multiple goring wounds and received immediate medical attention from park rangers before she was flown to the hospital. They say this is not the first time someone has been gored by a bison. You know, it gets me, these people, and they're predominantly lefties, and I don't know, again, I don't know what this woman's political affiliation is, but they, you know, they buy into this whole idea that we are just like that, that humans are just like the animals of the forest, and, you know, they're just sweet, innocent little creatures, and they're cuddly, and, you know, they're gonna take a selfie with you. Clearly, the bison, not interested in a selfie.
Yeah, I would rather just gore her. Would something about the phrase "gored by a bison" I could not laugh at. It's so, just ridiculous enough to be funny, despite how bad it is.
So here's just a warning sign for all of you folks out there. If you want to get a selfie with a bison at Yellowstone, if the bison is pawing the ground and snorting and bobbing its head, that's probably a good indication you need to get the heck out of there.
It says she got within 10 feet of it multiple times. You're lucky getting within 10 feet of one time and getting out of there unscathed. The fact that she went back about multiple times, I'm not going to say that she did. I mean, well, she kind of did. She kind of asked for it. I mean, to be honest.
It's the same thing about people going up to the bears, you know? I mean, the bear's going to do what the bear's going to do. So if you walk up to a bear and you're going to get a selfie with a bear and you end up that you don't have a scalp, I hate to say this, but that's kind of on you.
Did you see the Twitter video? I think it was a couple of weeks ago, of these guys in the woods who walk up behind a bear and like video themselves poking it in the back with a stick while it's trying to walk away from them. The bear turns around and smacks them.
Good for the bear. Good for the bear. Bear lives matter. Seriously, this is outrageous. You know, here you are. The bears are living in the forest. What was it? Yogi Bear and Boo Boo? And they're out there minding their own business and living their lives. And along come the humans, and they want to poke and prod and get all cuddly. You know, the bears are not cuddly people. Well, the Berenstain Bears, but by and large, the other bears are not. All right, so the lesson here, folks, don't take a selfie with a bison. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Jody Heiss. Congressman, we know that you were on the floor, the House floor, so we had to stall, and that was the closest story I had. So my apologies about the bison story. So
yeah,
it is what it is. It's live.
We made it back.
It's live radio, Congressman, live radio. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham were talking about this last night. You've been one of the few guys up on Capitol Hill willing to stand up and say, you know what, we've got to fight for the statues of the founding fathers. We've got to fight for Mount Rushmore. Why is it that a lot of Republicans are not speaking out?
Yeah, that's really a great question, Todd. I really don't understand it. The battle is intensifying with every day, and it's. I was in a meeting just last evening with a group of conservative leaders, and the message was, guys, we've got to fight. We've got to stand up for our country and stand up for our constituents. I don't know about the others. Well, frankly, I do know about the others. I think every person up here is being blown up on their phones with, where are you? Why are you not fighting? And that certainly is the feel. There are many of us who are fighting, but unfortunately, the national media does not want to cover anyone who is opposing what's happening in our country, and it's very difficult to get on the radar. But there are a number of people who are in the trenches, Todd. There's a number who are out there fighting, and it's just unfortunate what we're watching in our country right now, what's taking place.
I mean, we are watching a, you know, and I wrote a book about this back in October, this idea of a bloodless culture jihad, where they are literally turning American history into piles of rubble. And now they're going after a Mount Rushmore. You know, the Democrats had to delete a tweet yesterday suggesting that watching fireworks at Mount Rushmore is a symbolic of white supremacy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, the misinformation, the outright lies that are being spread, the destruction, the violence, the assault on individual lives, the threats that are taking place, and we're all supposed to sit back and pretend as though this is a good thing. It's absolute insanity what's going on, and unfortunately we're watching the governors and mayors of many blue states and blue cities in particular who are intentionally sitting back watching it happen and, in fact, going even beyond that and defunding the police. It's just absolute nonsense what's taking place, and we cannot allow a bunch of Marxists or anarchists to take over our country. But that is literally what's taking place in certain parts of our nation.
You know, Congressman, another big story in the news is the possibility of statehood for the District of Columbia. There's one headline that says Republicans fear D.C. voters. That's why they're blocking statehood. What do you say to that?
We don't fear D.C. Voters. The thing is, it's in the Constitution. What they fear is the Constitution. The Constitution allows citizens and representatives from every state to be here in Washington, D.C., but our founders deliberately set aside the seat of our government to not be within a state because they did not want a state influencing what takes place in our national government. And so they set apart a district which has become the District of Columbia, as we all know, that is not deliberately, is not in a state for that specific reason. And, the Democrats are absolutely yet again totally ignoring and trying to get around what the Constitution clearly has put forth.
You know, it seems to me, Congressman, that if they're going to do that, they should just give the property, the land, back to Virginia and Maryland.
Well, and we have offered that. You know, at the end of the day, Todd, there's only one thing this is all about. They want two more senators. And so their excuse to try to get two more senators is to create a state out of a city. And you can't do that. States are not created out of cities, but they're trying to take Washington, D.C. and make it a state so that they can get two more senators and one more representative. That's all this is about. And they are hiding under the false story that all these people have taxation but no representation in Washington. And we've been down the constitutional argument like I briefly summarized a moment ago. But beyond that, we've even gone to the next step and suggested what you just said. And we said, look, if you want representation, if that is the issue, then let's retrocede the property back to Maryland, and then they will have representation, and they will be able to vote on a senator from Maryland and a representative from the D.C. area. But, of course, they want nothing to do with that. they want to add two more senators, and so they're trying to create a state out of the city.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend from the great state of Georgia, Congressman Jody Heiss. Congressman, looking towards November, I think, you know, we've been warning people for a long time this was going to be an ugly street fight for the next couple of months, and I'm not sure that people really understood what we meant by that, but we've got a long way to go here. What are you hearing out there, boots on the ground? Are people still supporting this president?
Yeah, they absolutely are. Of course, people also understand that it's unusual days. The pandemic has created a challenge with our economy, whereas just a few months ago we had the strongest economy, arguably, in the history of our country, in the history of the world, and that no longer exists, and people are fearful of getting back to work. People understand that. They understand the challenge that we're facing with the rioting and all this type of thing that is occurring right now as well. So people are very much aware of the challenges, but they also are very much aware, at least from my experience, what I'm hearing, that the one who has done it once, led us down a path of making America great again, is the only one who's going to be able to pull this off a second time and lead us down a pathway of prosperity. But, you know, it's getting uglier and uglier all the day. I think your description of this being a figurative bloodbath is very true. This is going to get ugly between now and November, and this is a time for patriots to stand up, to get engaged, get involved, and not be intimidated with the voices of others who are very loud voices.
Well, no doubt about it, very loud. And I really do hope that the Republicans can find a unified voice on these attacks here, Congressman. This is not just about statues. This is about the country here. I hope people up on Capitol Hill understand that.
Well, I do too, Todd. And I tell you that we are having a lot of discussion with a lot of different representatives. Everyone feels the same. You know, the question is, what do you do about it? Because, I mean, here's the challenge. We have a federal government, but the federal government is very, very, very limited in what it can do in states. And as you have state governors and mayors and this, that, and the other who are refusing to do anything in their own jurisdiction, it becomes a difficult tightrope to determine the role of federal government in state and local issues. And so, you know, that is really, I can just tell you, that's where a lot of the discussion is. People are upset. They're frustrated up here in Washington. But the question is, how do we deal with this in a constitutional manner while still respecting states' right and local government? And so there are some serious legal issues to walk through that kind of scenario. And I can tell you the frustration is here, but trying to land on effective, proper solutions is the challenge.
All right. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. Thank you.
Likewise, Todd. Thank you.
All right, Congressman Jody Heiss from the great state of Georgia. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
You're with Todd Stearns.
All right. Well, here's an interesting story from TheFederalist.com. You know, Justice Neil Gorsuch really created a lot of turmoil in his decision a couple of weeks ago regarding transgenders. And they were predicting a lot of lawsuits would be filed. And that is actually happening. So TheFederalist.com says that LGBT lawyers are already using the Supreme Court ruling to demand hysterectomies for men. So, wow. No, this is TheFederalist.com. Margot Cleveland is the author. And again, the idea here is that the LGBT lawyers are suggesting that that men have a right to demand hysterectomies. I was reading something the other day about how men have the right to get pregnant in America. Not impregnate, but themselves become pregnant.
I think they have the right. It's the ability that is the issue.
Take it up with the Almighty. That's what I say. Take it up with the Almighty.
I mean, they're free to do it. It'd be impressive.
Yeah, I tell you. All right. Mississippi, yesterday we had our good friend Frank Quarter from YallPolitics.com. And, of course, the big news, Mississippi getting rid of the Confederate battle emblem. And they are going to emblazon the new state flag with the words, "In God We Trust." And it was only a matter of time before the Freedom From Religion Foundation stepped into that nonsense. And they are demanding that the state of Mississippi remove the words, "In God We Trust," from the state flag. They say that, this is the Freedom of Religion Foundation, they say the phrase, "In God We Trust," is intimately entwined with slavery and segregation. So basically, in essence, they're saying that the brand new flag is just as racist as the previous flag. That's their argument. Mississippi, by the way, one of the most religious states in America, but about 17% of Mississippians are not Christians. You see, I would have figured that number would have been like 2%. I think everybody goes to church in Mississippi, but what do I know? So there you have it. No word if they're going to file a lawsuit, but the Freedom From Religion Foundation, very upset. Because the new Mississippi state flag will have the words, "In God We Trust." So that's that. Hey, coming up after the top of the hour news. So apparently all of Major League Sports has gone woke. And we're going to go through some of the latest developments. The NBA says they're going to emblazon their basketball courts with the phrase, "Black Lives Matter." Major League Baseball says they've got a problem, way too many white baseball players. We're going to get into all of that. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.